Valerie had 5 seconds to invent a mate or be dragged to the barracks. A desperate lie lands her in the bed of the most dangerous Alpha King on the continent. A ruthless ruler feared by 5 kingdoms, and a man who has never taken a mate. Valerie carries a secret these kingdoms would kill to possess. She just never expected the only man dangerous enough to destroy her, to become the one who refuses to let her go. The guard's hand was already closing around her wrist when Valerie spoke. "I'm claimed." The words came out steady somehow, even as she pressed her free hand flat against her thigh to hide the shaking. Her mother had always said she had a liar's voice. Calm, low, utterly convincing. A gift or a curse, Val. Depending on the night. Tonight it was the only weapon she had. The guard, a broad-scarred man named Eris, if the name stitched on his collar meant anything, paused, looked her over with the slow, assessing contempt of a man who had seen every version of this conversation and found none of them interesting. Unclaimed females caught near pack war camps after dark were considered spoils, property of the victors. It was a brutal law. Valerie had known it before she'd tried to cross the camp's perimeter, but she had tried anyway, because the alternative was another night in the open hills with Malgrath's hunters behind her. "Claimed," Eris repeated. His eyes dropped to her throat. Bare. No scent mark. No bonding bruise. Nothing. "By who?" Valerie had mere seconds before he decided she was lying. Her eyes moved. One fast sweep of the camp behind him. The rows of identical canvas tents. The banners snapping in the wind. Most flew the pack standard. A black wolf on gray. But at the far northwestern edge, set apart from the others, one tent flew no banner at all, larger than the rest, dark. A single iron stake driven into the ground outside it, hung with what looked like a seal. She read the mark burned into the stake. "Kylan," she said. "His name is Kylan." Eris went very still. The stillness of a man who has just heard something that frightened him. Not her, she understood in an instant. But the name. And because Eris was afraid, he released her wrist and stepped back and said, in a raspy voice, "You have until the commander's horn to be inside that tent. I find you wandering after that." "You won't," Valerie replied quickly. She walked toward the dark tent with every ounce of confidence she did not possess. And the moment she slipped beneath the canvas flap and let it fall behind her, she pressed herself against the center pole and let out a shaky breath. The inside of the tent hit her like a quiet warning. It wasn't the clutter of a soldier's quarters. No dice cups. No half-empty flasks. No pinned sketches of women or maps scribbled with crude jokes. This space was sparse. A low, wide pallet piled with heavy furs. A campaign table with maps weighted down by a single carved wolf's fang. One iron candle stand, its wax pooled neatly at the base. Valerie's stomach tightened. She should leave. Slip back outside before the commander's horn sounded. But then she heard voices just outside the flap. 2 guards, low and grumbling. "Eris said she's claimed by Kylan himself. Idiot girl. If she's lying, she's dead by morning. Better her than me. I'm not the one who has to tell him some stray wandered into his tent." Their footsteps moved away. But the trap had already closed. She was pinned between the war camp outside and whatever waited in here. Valerie exhaled slowly, forcing her shoulders down. "Breathe through the fear, Val. Fear makes you sloppy." She stepped deeper into the tent, boots quiet on the woven rug. A faint scent threaded beneath the wood smoke, almost sweet, like crushed flowers mixed with something metallic. She told herself it was incense, or dried herbs left for healing. Her fingers brushed the edge of the pallet as she sat, just to think. Just for a moment while she worked out her next move. Her vision tilted sideways. One breath she was cataloging exits, the next her eyelids were too heavy, her thoughts sliding away like water through cupped hands. She tried to stand back up, but her legs wouldn't obey. The last thing she registered was the faint, sweet scent curling around her like a promise. She woke to cold steel against her throat. "Don't move." The voice was low, rough, and carried the kind of calm that came from absolute certainty. Valerie's eyes snapped open. A man knelt over her, broad-shouldered and powerfully built, dark hair falling across his face. His eyes were a mesmerizing blue, the color of glacier depths that could freeze a person where they stood. She knew that face. No. No, no, no. She had seen him once. Years ago, at a distance, from a rooftop above a crowded border market where people had pressed against each other just to catch a glimpse of the procession below. Kylan Valerian was not an officer to borrow cover from and be forgotten by dawn. He was the Alpha King. The man whose name she had casually borrowed like a fool. The man who was now watching her with the unblinking focus of a wolf, deciding how to carve up his prey. The sedative works faster on liars, Kylan said, almost conversationally. Something about the elevated heartbeat makes the blood move quicker. Valerie kept perfectly still, mind racing even as the blade kissed her skin. Begging would mark her weak. Lies would get her killed, so she did the only thing she could, pivoted into the only currency she had left. I used your name to survive a guard who was about to drag me off, she said, voice low and steady despite the terror clawing up her throat. Hunters have been on me for days. I needed shelter. Just one night I'll be gone by dawn. Kylan didn't interrupt. He simply listened, the blade never wavering. That silence felt worse than shouting. It gave her space to hang herself. She kept talking, selectively. The border crossing, the patrols, the hunters. But nothing about the mark hidden beneath her collarbone. Nothing about why they truly wanted her. The tent flap opened without warning. A second man stepped inside, taller, leaner, with the easy authority of someone who had stood at the king's side through hell. He froze when he saw her, eyes flicking from Valerie to Kylan and back again. Your Majesty, the second in command said carefully. We have reports from the Eastern Ridge. Not now, Wren. Kylan's voice stayed soft, but the command in it was iron. Wren bowed once and backed out, but not before shooting her one last unreadable glance. Valerie's pulse roared in her ears. You used my name, Kylan mused when they were alone again, voice edged with dark amusement. Valerie lifted her chin, refusing to shrink under that icy blue stare. I used a name on a stake. I didn't know it was yours. And if you did, I'd have picked a different tent, she shot back, one whose owner wasn't rumored to let his wolf eat intruders for sport. A ghost of a smile touched his mouth, there and gone so fast she almost missed it. Something in her chest tightened at the sight. Dangerous. He was far too good-looking when he wasn't threatening to slit her throat. His gaze sharpened. Careful. My wolf's been restless lately. He might take that as an invitation. Valerie met that glacial stare without flinching, even as her pulse betrayed her. Then you should tell him I bite back. Kylan exhaled a low sound, half laugh, half growl, and finally lowered the blade. The camp is locked down until midday, he said. No one enters or leaves. You can stay until then. Relief crashed through her so hard her hands shook, but she wasn't naive enough to trust it. What's your price? One truthful answer. His voice dropped, quiet and certain. The sedative you breathed is still in your blood. I'll know if you lie. She weighed her options. Fine. He studied her for a beat, those mesmerizing blue eyes unreadable. Then he asked the last thing she expected. Are you afraid of me? Valerie held his gaze, letting the question settle. Was this a test? Some cruel game to watch her squirm while the sedative worked deeper? She thought of the blade that had pressed against her throat, the raw power rolling off him like a gathering storm. Fear was there, cold and instinctive. But underneath it stirred something far more treacherous, curiosity. Not yet, she said, the words slipping out with a wry edge. Ask me again in an hour. This time his smile stayed, It softened the ruthless edges of his face just enough to make her stomach flip. He stood, sheathing the knife with fluid grace. "That was your one question?" she asked as he turned toward the flap. "Not about the hunters? Not about who I am?" He paused, back to her. "I already know more about you than you'd like. And for my discretion, you owe me a favor. I'll decide what it is when the time comes." He left before she could respond, the canvas falling shut behind him. Valerie sagged against the center pole, lungs burning as she dragged in a shaky breath. The faint, sweet scent of the sedative still clung to the air, threaded now with the dark presence of the man who had just walked out. She instinctively pressed two fingers to the hidden mark on her collarbone, feeling it warm under her touch. Whatever favor the Alpha King eventually demanded, she suspected it would cost her more than she could afford. Valerie woke to the low murmur of voices outside the tent, sharp with tension. She sat up slowly, every muscle protesting the hard ground and the lingering fog in her head. Dawn light filtered through the seams, casting pale stripes across the furs. "Foreign banners on the eastern ridge," a man's muffled voice, rough and clipped. "Gray field with crimson accents, moving in tight formation." "Scouts say they're probing," a second voice replied. "Testing how fast we react. Could be nothing." Valerie's stomach tightened into a hard knot. Gray and crimson. She knew those colors too well. They haunted her nightmares, the banners that had flown over the last village she'd fled in the dead of night, the ones that had chased her across three borders. Malgrath's men. They were here, closing in. She pushed to her feet with gritted teeth, ignoring the bruises from days of non-stop running, the exhaustion that clung to her bones like lead. She wrapped her cloak tighter and stepped toward the flap just as it opened. Kylan filled the entrance, his broad frame blocking most of the light. His eyes locked on her immediately, sweeping over her in a slow, deliberate pass, head to toe and back again. The look of a man checking for injuries or weakness. "Camp's on extended lockdown," he said. "You'll draw too much attention trying to slip away now." Valerie's heart sank. Before she could answer, he stepped closer and inhaled, scenting the air around her throat where her heartbeat thundered. His gaze sharpened. "Gray and crimson banner colors, does that mean anything to you?" Valerie kept her face carefully blank even as her pulse spiked. "I've seen them before," she said, keeping her tone even. "Raiders. Bad news for anyone caught in the open." Kylan studied her for a long moment, those glacial eyes narrowing slightly, as if he could taste the half-truth on her tongue. Then his attention drifted past her to the pallet. The furs were still rumpled, the clear imprint of her body pressed into them. "Did you enjoy my bed?" he asked. Heat flooded her cheeks. "I didn't mean to take it. I'm sorry." "No need," he cut in, the corner of his mouth twitching. "It just means the sedative worked exactly as intended." Valerie exhaled a short, surprised breath. "Where did you sleep?" He nodded at the camp chair in the corner. Solid wood, no cushioning, the kind of seat that would leave a man aching after an hour. "It has its disadvantages," he said, "though I'll admit the view this morning was better than usual." The moment stretched between them, the pull sharpening again, an insistent tug that made her far too aware of him. Then Kylan's gaze dropped. "How good are you with your hands?" Valerie felt her face warm. Kylan's jaw flexed as if he'd realized how it sounded. "You're listed as a camp healer," he clarified. "Can you help? We have wounded who need steady hands." She nodded, grateful for the shift back to safer ground. "I can help." An hour later, Valerie moved through the healer's row with quiet efficiency, satchel slung over her shoulder. She didn't chat or offer false comfort. She worked. A soldier with a festering leg wound gritted his teeth as she cleaned the pus and packed the wound with herbs that would draw out the infection. Another man, barely more than a boy, winced as she reset his badly healed broken hand, her fingers steady and sure from years of practice in worse conditions. Each small victory felt like a quiet apology to the camp she had accidentally endangered. She felt Kylan's gaze more than once, watching from across the camp like a shadow she couldn't shake. Each time their eyes met, that strange pull flared hotter, tugging low in her gut like a compass finding true north. She'd been near alphas before. There was always a warmth to them, something ambient and low like the heat that comes off sun-warmed stone. She'd learned to ignore it years ago. But with Kylan, the heat had intent. It pulled. She told herself it was the lingering effects of the sedative, a chemical hangover that would clear soon, and then she could think straight about her escape plan. The camp's eastern perimeter was sealed, but the northern supply access had lighter traffic. She'd clocked two guards on rotation with a gap she could use around the third hour after midnight. She'd need her satchel repacked before dark, without anyone noticing. "You have a good technique." She looked up. The man standing at the edge of the healer's row was not Kylan. Older, mid-50s, silver at his temples, with the relaxed posture of someone who'd been comfortable in military camps. "Sorry? Your hands." He nodded at the poultice she'd apparently been mixing on instinct, while her mind was somewhere on the perimeter. "Most healers I've seen work like they're following a recipe, but not you." He smiled. Warm. Easy. The smile of a man who made a habit of making people feel noticed. "Lord Sorvain, I command Kylan's First Division when I'm not finding excuses to escape my own paperwork." "Valerie," she said. "Valerie, word travels fast in a locked camp. You've been a great help today." He fell into step beside her. "Where did you train?" She kept her pace easy. "Here and there." "Your mother, maybe? That kind of steadiness usually starts young." The mark on her collarbone went hot, like a coal pressed to her skin. She didn't touch it. She had learned at 15 not to touch it when she felt it. But every muscle in her wanted to. "She taught me what she could," Valerie said, "before she died." "I'm sorry to hear it." He sounded like he meant it. "The border villages have been hard the last few years. Whereabouts are you from, originally?" "I move around." She kept her voice light. "It's easier with this kind of work. You go where you're needed." Sorvain smiled again. His eyes, though, were doing something different from his mouth. Filing. Checking the edges of every answer for where the shape of it didn't quite fit. "Of course. Well, we're grateful you're here." He peeled off a few minutes later, unhurried, pausing to exchange a few words with a cluster of soldiers who clearly knew him well. She heard someone laugh. Valerie kept walking. The moment she found a narrow gap between two supply wagons, she slipped into it and pressed her back hard against the rough wood. Her palm flattened over the burning mark on her collarbone, willing the heat to die down. It always faded eventually, like an ember slowly smothered. "He doesn't know anything." She made herself think it clearly. Sorvain was thorough. She'd felt it in every question. But thorough wasn't the same as knowing. Men who truly knew didn't waste time asking where you were from. They simply told you they knew, and then they took. She breathed out again and felt her pulse slow. "Sorvain give you trouble?" The low voice came from the end of the wagon. Valerie's head snapped sideways. Kylan stood there, shoulder braced against the wood, watching her with that unnerving stillness. She hated how aware she was of him, the slope of his shoulders, the quiet strength in the way he held himself. He was annoyingly, distractingly beautiful. "He was perfectly pleasant," she said, forcing her voice steady. Kylan pushed off the wagon and stepped closer. "You haven't eaten." "I've been working." "You've been working for 6 hours straight on whatever scraps you had left in that pack yesterday," he replied. "Matter of fact. There's food. Come." Valerie followed him. Mostly because she was, now that he'd said it, genuinely hungry, they ate at the table in his tent. Bread, salted meat, something hot in a battered tin cup that turned out to be broth with herbs. He sat across from her with his own food and a map he kept glancing at. And for a while, neither of them said anything. She found herself noticing the way he turned the map slightly to catch the light. The small scar along his jaw, faded to white, old enough that she wondered what kind of man he'd been when he earned it. "Did you decide?" she said. "On the favor?" He looked up from the map. Amusement flickered briefly across his face. "You've been thinking about that," he said. "I've been thinking about the fact that I agreed to an open-ended debt with a man whose name stops guards cold," she said. "So yes, I've been thinking about it." He set the map down. "Not yet," he said with a faint smirk. "I'm still deciding." Valerie took another bite of bread, as Kylan leaned back slightly, fingers drumming once against the edge of the table before going still. "The Riders on the Ridge," he said. "They're not just raiders. Malgrath runs a disciplined operation. Those tight formations are his signature." He looked at the map. "He's been pushing the Eastern Territories for 2 years. What he wants is the border passes. Control the passes, you control everything that moves through them. Trade, refugees, armies." A pause. "He's also been collecting something else lately. People with particular uses." She kept eating, face carefully neutral, but her grip on the bread tightened. "He hasn't taken the passes," she observed. "No." Something shifted in his expression. "We've held, at a cost. But there are 23 men in this camp who won't go home because of that cost." He said it quietly, like a number he kept. She looked at him. He was staring at the map, and she had the sense he was seeing something other than topography. After a moment, he looked up and caught her watching. Something wordless passed between them, sharp and electric. She didn't look away fast enough. "It's strange," he said, picking up his cup. "Since last night, my senses have been running differently, sharper. I can hear across the camp without trying. I've been thinking faster than usual, holding my wolf with less effort." His eyes came to hers, direct and even. "What do you make of it?" Her chest tightened. She stared into her broth. "Probably adrenaline," she said. "Lockdown, enemy on the ridge, the body adapts." "You have an answer for everything, don't you?" His voice dropped. "I like it." His gaze lingered on the shadows under her eyes, the slight slump of her shoulders that she couldn't quite hide. "You're exhausted," he said quietly. Before she could protest, he reached over and blew out the candle. The tent plunged into soft darkness, broken only by the faint glow of the brazier. "Get some rest, Valerie." Valerie opened her mouth, but the words never came. The heavy pull of fatigue won. She was still composing some half-hearted argument when the edges of the world went soft. She woke slowly in the middle of the night, disoriented, the taste of herbs still faint on her tongue. She blinked slowly, realizing she was no longer slumped at the table but lying fully on the wide furs of his bed. A heavy wool blanket had been drawn carefully over her, tucked around her shoulders. It smelled like him. Wood smoke, cold mountain air, and that darker, masculine undertone that was unmistakably Kylan. Valerie lay very still, heart thudding. He had moved her. Covered her. Let her take his bed while he... She glanced toward the chair and saw it empty. His absence unsettled her more than it should have. "Dangerous," she thought. "This is all becoming very, very dangerous." She closed her eyes again, knowing tomorrow she would need to find a way out before Malgrath's men tightened the noose. Somewhere in the dark, beyond the healer's row, a sealed letter changed hands. "She's here. The king is distracted. Move now." The rider slipped between the tents like a shadow, then vanished into the night. The next day passed in a haze of guarded conversations and watchful eyes. Valerie kept her head down, moving between the healer's row and supply tents. But the mark on her collarbone burned more often now, a constant reminder that time was running out. She repacked her satchel in stolen moments, calculating escape routes through the northern perimeter, where the guard rotation had the widest gap. Every instinct told her she needed to be gone before nightfall. But Kylan's presence made it harder than it should have been. He didn't hover, but she felt him, watching from across the camp, that directional pull tugging at her like an invisible thread. Late in the afternoon, Lord Sorvain found Kylan alone in the command tent. The older commander entered without fanfare, his usual warm demeanor replaced by something more measured. He waited until the flap fell shut behind him before speaking. "You need to know who's sleeping in your tent, my king." Kylan turned a map weight over in his hand, a carved wolf fang, smooth with ewes. "Speak plainly." "She has a mark on her collarbone." Sorvain kept his voice measured, the tone he used for battlefield intelligence. "Dark, curved. If you know what you're looking at, it's unmistakable." He paused. "It's a Bloodwarden mark." The wolf fang turned once more in Kylan's fingers and went still. "I trust you know what that means," Sorvain continued. "The old texts describe it clearly. A direct amplifier on an alpha's gifts. Range, strength, clarity. An alpha with a Bloodwarden at his side could hold every territory on this continent, Kylan. Every border. Every pass. Not through 20 years of bleeding. Permanently. The border wars would be over." He paused, watching Kylan's face with careful patience, searching for the hunger he clearly expected to see. Kylan set the fang down with deliberate calm. "How do you know about the mark?" Sorvain's expression flickered, just for a breath, before smoothing back. "I saw it when her cloak shifted earlier today. I've studied the old bloodlines." Kylan studied him for a long, heavy moment, the silence stretching like a drawn bowstring. "Does she know you know?" Something shifted behind Sorvain's eyes. Surprise, quickly buried. This wasn't the response he'd wanted. "No," he said. "I thought you should hear it from me first." Kylan leaned back, icy gaze unflinching. "Then this conversation never happened?" "We have a perimeter to manage and 40-odd men who need their commander's head where it belongs." Kylan picked up the nearest report and looked at it, effectively ending the conversation. "Thank you for the information, Sorvain." Kylan waited until Sorvain's steps faded away before his fingers tightened around the edge of the map table. The offer lingered in the air like smoke. Borders secured. Wars ended. The endless bleeding of good men finally stopped. His wolf stirred beneath his skin, restless and hungry, pushing hard against the cage of his control. "Take it," the beast rumbled. "She is power. She is victory. She is the end of every fight we have ever lost." Kylan's eyes flashed gold for a single heartbeat. Valerie moved quickly as dusk settled over the camp. Her satchel was packed light. Bandages, dried herbs, a small blade, the few coins she'd managed to keep hidden. She had a narrow window after the next guard shift change. If she could slip past the northern supply line and disappear into the tree line before full dark, she might have a chance. She stepped out of the supply tent, cloak pulled high, and started toward the perimeter. "Going somewhere?" She stopped. Kylan was leaning against the supply tent's outer post, arms crossed. Her heart kicked hard. "Just checking the herb stores near the northern line," she said, forcing her voice steady. "A soldier mentioned a cough spreading through the barracks." He pushed off the post and stepped closer. For a moment, she thought he might let her go. Then his gaze dropped to her collarbone. The cold moved through her before the understanding did. She looked down. Her cloak had caught on the tent stake behind her. She hadn't even felt it snag. And the collar of her tunic had shifted. Not far. An inch, maybe two. But enough to expose the dark, curved mark on her collarbone, unmistakable to anyone who knew the old stories. she pulled her cloak closed in less than a heartbeat. Both hands, automatic, the motion so practiced it happened before the panic fully arrived. Valerie's blood turned to ice. She yanked the cloak closed with both hands, automatic, desperate, the motion so practiced it happened before the full panic could crash over her. But when she looked up, Kylan wasn't surprised. Not even a flicker. Her stomach dropped like a stone. How long have you known? Her voice came out shaky. Sorvain told me earlier. She took a half step back, heart hammering. Is that what your favor is? You want the power? The Blood Warden mark? Kylan met her eyes without flinching. No. Then what are you going to do with it? Her voice cracked. With me? Nothing. He said it simply, like it was the easiest truth in the world. I'm going to get you out of this camp alive, and then you're going to go wherever you need to go. I won't tell anyone. She stared at him. For years, she had dreaded this exact moment. The moment a man discovered what she carried, and his eyes changed. The hunger. The calculation. The moment she stopped being a person and became a weapon. But Kylan's eyes didn't change. They stayed the same steady blue. Fierce. Protective. And something deeper that made her chest ache with a terrifying kind of hope. Why? She whispered. Why help me? I lied to get into your tent. I brought hunters to your camp. He stepped closer. Close enough that she could feel the warmth rolling off him. The pull between them flared. Hot. Insistent. Because I've spent my life watching men try to own power they don't understand. His hand lifted, hovering near her cheek without touching. I won't be another one of those men, not with you. Valerie swallowed hard, fighting the warmth spreading through her chest. Come back to my tent at midnight, he said, voice low. We'll work out the route. I know the northern perimeter better than anyone. There's a way through that won't get you intercepted. Hours later, Sorvain found Valerie just before the evening meal. He approached with a smile, but this time there was purpose in his step. Valerie? A word? He took her toward the eastern edge of the camp, to the quiet stretch where the guard posts thinned out. There was a horse there. A good one, she noticed immediately. Dark bay, well fed, with a pack already secured behind the saddle. There's a gate they'll open at my word, Sorvain said quietly. Enough coin in that pack to see you safely away. 2 months? Maybe 3, if you're careful. Valerie studied the horse. The buckles were fresh military issue, the same stamp as the supply wagons. The pack had been tied with the same precise knots she'd seen the king's own riders use that morning. Done today. Done in haste. This is very generous, she said carefully. It isn't generosity, Sorvain replied, voice gentle. You're in a dangerous situation and I have the means to help. Kylan has enough to manage without adding your problem to his. He's a good man, but he can't protect everyone. She kept her face neutral, but her pulse was racing. Something about the way he said Kylan's name felt wrong. And as Sorvain continued speaking, her gaze drifted to the saddle again. There, nearly hidden beneath the flap, was a narrow strip of dark crimson leather stitched along the cantle. Fresh stitching. And the pattern, 3 interlocking crescents, was one she had seen before. On the harness of the scout who had nearly caught her 2 weeks ago. Malgrath's personal mark. Valerie kept her face soft, grateful, the way a woman who had been running for her life would look when handed an exit. He'll be fine, Sorvain continued, reading her silence. He's managed worse than Malgrath before. Whatever noble instinct has him trying to protect you. You don't need to let that complicate things. She forced a smile, small and relieved. Thank you. I'll get my things and be ready. Sorvain placed a brief, paternal hand on her shoulder. Smart girl. Ride hard tonight. By morning, you'll be beyond their reach. Valerie walked back through the camp at a measured pace, heart pounding against her ribs. Every step felt heavier. Sorvain wasn't just crooked. He was actively feeding her to Malgrath, and Kylan had no idea what was coming. She changed direction the moment Sorvain was out of sight, heading straight for the king's tent. The mark on her collarbone burned hotter with every step, as if it too sensed the noose tightening. Kylan was alone inside, studying maps by lantern light. The moment she pushed through the flap, he straightened, concern flashing across his face at the look in her eyes. "Valerie?" The words tumbled out of her in a rush. She told him everything. Sorvain's sudden offer, the horse waiting at the gate, the thin strip of leather hidden on the saddle with Malgrath's interlocking crescent mark. By the time she finished, her voice had gone ragged. The weight of years of running, of never being able to trust anyone, crashed over her all at once. Her hands started to shake. Kylan listened in silence, his expression darkening with every word. Sorvain had been with him for 15 years, fought beside him, commanded his most loyal division. If he was working with Malgrath, then this wasn't a sudden betrayal. It was a long game. Deliver the Blood Warden to Malgrath, weaken Kylan from within, and shift the balance of power across the entire border. That explained why Malgrath's forces had grown bolder these past months. Why they always seemed to know where to press. Kylan's jaw tightened. When he finally looked at her, the fury in his eyes was quiet, but absolute. Valerie tried to hold herself together, but a broken sound escaped her throat. All the fear she had buried for so long rose up at once. "He's going to feed me to them. And you, he's been with you for..." Kylan crossed the space between them and pulled her against his chest. "I've got you," he murmured against her hair, voice rough with restrained rage. "He won't touch you. None of them will." She pressed her face into his chest, breathing in the scent of him. Pine, leather, storm, and for the first time in years, the constant knot of terror in her chest cracked. Tears burned behind her eyes. Kylan brushed his lips against her temple, a slow, grounding kiss that sent warmth spreading through her. His hand slid to her jaw, tilting her face up. Their eyes met, and the pull between them surged, hot and undeniable. His thumb traced her cheekbone. His gaze dropped to her mouth. For one suspended heartbeat, the world outside the tent ceased to exist. She rose onto her toes without thinking. Their lips hovered a breath apart, heat crackling between them like lightning about to strike. Chaos erupted outside. Shouts tore through the night. Steel rang against steel. Kylan's head snapped toward the sound, his expression hardening into something lethal in an instant. His arm tightened around her for one last second before he released her and grabbed his sword. "Stay close," he said, voice like forged steel. Valerie nodded, heart still racing from the comfort she hadn't known she was starving for. She drew the small dagger from her satchel and fell in beside him as they stepped out into the growing storm of battle. The night had officially begun. Chaos swallowed the camp. Kylan moved like a storm breaking, sword already drawn, cutting a path through the smoke and firelight. Torches flared wildly. Steel clashed as Malgrath's riders poured through the eastern gate Sorvain had opened under the guise of a supply run. It wasn't a full siege. It was a surgical strike. Fast, disciplined, every man with one objective. Take the woman. Kylan's voice cut through the din like a blade. "Protect the healers. Push them back." He glanced at Valerie once, eyes fierce with protectiveness. "Stay close." She nodded, dagger gripped tight, and followed him into the fray. They fought their way toward the eastern gate. Kylan was a force of nature, every swing of his sword precise, every movement backed by the raw power of his wolf. Valerie stayed in his shadow, using the chaos to her advantage. She wasn't a warrior, but she was fast and she knew how to survive. when a rider broke through and lunged for her, she slashed low across his thigh, dropping him long enough for one of Kylan's men to finish the job. For a few precious moments they moved as one, his power clearing the path, her quickness covering his blind spots. The pull between them thrummed even in battle, a living thread keeping her anchored to him. Then the tide surged. A fresh wave of Malgrath's riders slammed into their flank, separating them in the smoke and firelight. Kylan roared Valerie's name, cutting viciously toward her, but more enemies poured between them. She slashed at a man who grabbed for her arm, twisted free, and lost sight of him in the chaos. Kylan's mind burned with one thought. Sorvain. He had to end this at the source. He shouted orders to Ren and carved a bloody path toward the gate. But he was too late. Sorvain stood at the open gate like a man conducting a symphony, calm and efficient, gesturing Malgrath's riders through with the same steady authority he had wielded for 15 years at Kylan's side. The betrayal hit like a hammer to the chest. Sorvain. The older commander turned, and for the first time in all their years together, his warm mask slipped. He didn't run. He simply straightened, meeting Kylan's gaze across the chaos with the quiet certainty of a man who had already accepted the cost. Kylan closed the distance in a blur, sword raised. Their blades met with a ringing clash that cut through the noise of battle. "You!" Kylan snarled, voice thick with betrayal. "After everything," Sorvain parried. "You could have changed the continent," he said, no apology in his tone. "With her, power at your command, the border wars end. No more slow bleed of good men dying for scraps of land. You have the strength and the character to lead. I have always believed that. But you refuse to use what's been given to you." Their swords locked. They strained against each other, faces inches apart. "She's not a weapon," Kylan growled. "She's a person." Something flickered across Sorvain's face. Shame, quickly shuddered. "She's potential. And you're wasting it protecting her instead of using it to save thousands." The fight turned brutal and personal. Sorvain was skilled, but Kylan fought with the fury of betrayal. A savage twist of his wrist disarmed Sorvain. A kick to the chest dropped him. Kylan's sword hovered at his throat. Sorvain looked up at him, breathing hard. "Do it then." Kylan's hand tightened on the hilt. For a long moment, the temptation burned bright until Kylan's focus fractured. He couldn't see Valerie anymore. Not in the smoke. Not in the press of bodies. The thread between them pulled taut with sudden fear. Hers. Kylan's blood ran cold. He had to get to her. Valerie was cornered near the supply tents, back pressed to the rough wood of a wagon, dagger trembling in her grip. Three of Malgrath's men closed in, blades drawn, eyes gleaming with the promise of reward. Smoke stung her eyes. The sounds of battle crashed around her. Screams, steel, the roar of wolves. Then the ranks parted and Malgrath himself stepped forward. He was not what she had imagined in all her years of running. No snarling monster. He was tall, silver threading his dark hair, his face handsome in the way of men who had lived long enough to know exactly what they wanted. Eyes sharp with long patience, finally wearing thin. "Valerie," he said, voice low and steady over the chaos. "It's been a long year, hasn't it?" She stared at him, chest heaving, dagger raised. This was the man who had turned her life into a hunt. The man whose wolves had torn through villages she'd tried to call home. The man who had made her afraid to let anyone close. "You've run long enough," Malgrath continued. "Hunted like prey. Forced to hide what you are. Forced to watch people die because they stood too close to you." He took one step closer, unafraid of her dagger. "I'm offering you an end to it. Stand with me. Let me give you a place where no one will ever hunt you again. Be the power behind the Alpha who will finally unite these fractured lands. No more running. No more graves left behind you." He gestured toward the fighting with a nod of his head. "Look at him. Bleeding. Outnumbered. still trying to reach you like some lovesick boy. He'll protect you until the day he realizes what you truly are. And then he'll do what all alphas do when they feel threatened by power they can't control. His voice dropped, intimate. He'll cage you. Or he'll break you trying not to. Valerie's gaze cut past him. Through the smoke and firelight, she saw Kylan. He was bleeding from a deep gash along his ribs, shirt torn and dark with blood. Five riders circled him, blades flashing. He fought like a man possessed, every strike brutal, every movement fueled by something raw and desperate. Even from here, she could see the way his eyes searched for her between swings, the way his mouth shaped her name. Something deep inside her cracked wide open. She had spent her entire life treating the mark like a wound, a curse that got people killed, a secret that turned love into a liability. She had buried it so deep she sometimes pretended it wasn't there at all. And now here he was, fighting for her, bleeding for her, the only person who had ever looked at her and seen more than the power she carried. Malgrath's men moved. Valerie broke into the run of her life. She ducked under a swinging blade, slammed her shoulder into one man's chest, and slipped between the other two. Her lungs burned. Her heart screamed. She sprinted straight toward Kylan, dodging bodies and steel, the world narrowing to the sight of him. Hurt, fighting, still reaching for her. He saw her coming mid-swing. His eyes widened. She crashed into him, grabbed his hand with both of hers, deliberately, fully, with every wall she had ever built crumbling in that single touch, and opened the connection she had kept locked her entire life. Power surged. White-hot light flooded her veins. Her knees buckled. A ragged gasp tore from her throat as the power she had locked away poured out of her in a violent rush, flooding into him. Kylan's entire body went rigid. For one terrible heartbeat, nothing happened. Then the shift began. It started in his eyes, icy blue swallowed by molten gold. A low, guttural sound ripped from his chest, half growl, half roar. His spine arched. Bones cracked and realigned with sickening speed. Fur, darker than midnight, thick as a bear's pelt, exploded across his skin. He grew and grew. Until the man was gone and in his place stood a wolf the size of a warhorse, massive shoulders towering over the men around him. His head alone was as broad as a shield. When he opened his jaws, the sound that came out shook the ground beneath their feet. Valerie's vision blurred at the edges. Every nerve in her body screamed. She could feel the flare racing outward from her like a beacon fire on a mountaintop. Bright, undeniable, impossible to miss. Every hunter who had ever chased her would feel this. Every enemy who had ever wanted what she carried would know exactly where she was now. Kylan's new form moved like a living shadow in storm. One massive paw slammed down, and a dozen riders went flying. His roar rolled across the camp, and Malgrath's men staggered, wolves whimpering and tucking their tails as the sheer weight of his presence crashed over them. Kylan's soldiers felt it too. Their blades struck harder. Their formation tightened. The tide didn't turn in a single heartbeat. It turned because their king had become something the enemy could not stand against. Valerie clung to his fur with one hand, the other pressed to her chest as if she could hold the pieces of herself together. Blood trickled from her nose. Her legs shook so badly she could barely stay upright. But she didn't let go. Not until the last of Malgrath's riders broke and ran. Not until the man himself was dragged forward in chains, looking across the blood-soaked ground at her with the cold frustration of someone who had come within inches of victory. Not until the night finally went quiet. Kylan stood in the blood-soaked clearing, chest heaving, the massive black wolf still rippling beneath his skin, like a storm that hadn't quite decided to pass. He hadn't killed Sorvain. Couldn't. Not after 15 years of trust, even if that trust had been a blade at his back. Instead, he'd stripped the man of rank and sent him into exile with nothing but the clothes on his back and the weight of what he'd lost. But none of that mattered now, because she was gone. He had turned to find her after the last blow fell, and the space beside him had been empty. no trace of her in the smoke. No familiar pull at the edge of his senses. Panic, cold and sharp, had lanced through him. He had searched the wreckage with blood still wet on his blade, shoving past his own men, until he finally saw her, alone at the edge of the ruined camp, sitting on a fallen log with her cloak wrapped tight around her shoulders like armor. Dawn was bleeding across the sky in streaks of gold and rose, painting the shattered tents and scattered weapons in soft light. Kylan approached slowly, letting her hear his footsteps. He sat beside her without asking, close enough that the warmth of him cut through the morning chill. Blood still streaked his side where a blade had caught him, but he ignored it. The only thing that mattered was the woman beside him, the one who had just set the entire continent alight to save him. "The flare will have reached every major territory by nightfall," he said quietly. "You can't stay in the open, not anymore." Valerie didn't look at him, her fingers twisted in the edge of her cloak. "I know." "I have a palace," he continued. "People whose entire purpose is making sure threats don't get through. You'd be safe there." She turned her head then, studying him with those guarded eyes that had started to soften around the edges because of him. "Are you asking me to move into your palace?" A faint smile touched his mouth, the first real one since the battle. "I'm cashing in the favor you owe me." The corner of her mouth twitched. The guarded walls she'd carried for so long were cracking, and they both knew it. Then she asked the question that had been sitting in her chest since the night he first caught her in his tent. "Speaking of, what did you originally have in mind for your favor?" "I wanted to court you," Kylan said simply. "The chance to show you that not every alpha who learns what you carry will try to own you." His lips lifted into a self-deprecating smile. "I was waiting for the right moment, for the fighting to end, for you to stop looking at me like you were already planning your next escape." Valerie's breath caught. She had spent so long waiting for the moment he would turn her into a weapon. Instead, he had given her choice after choice. Safety. Time. Tenderness she hadn't known how to accept. Valerie reached out and stroked his jaw with her fingertips. "I'm not planning my next escape." Kylan's eyes darkened. His hand came up to cover hers, pressing her palm more firmly against his stubble.
"Good,"
he murmured. "Because I'm done letting you run." Then his voice dropped, rougher now. "What you did out there, when you opened it fully, I could hear every heartbeat in this camp. I knew where every one of my men was without looking. I could have held this ground against 10 times the force." He met her eyes, and there was no hunger there. Only wonder. "It was the most powerful thing I have ever felt. And it came from you." "But I want to be honest," he continued, the admission costing him something she could see in the tight set of his jaw. "It was intoxicating. And I don't entirely trust what I'd be capable of wanting if I let myself have it." Valerie was quiet for a long moment. Then softly she said the words that undid him completely. "I trust you." Kylan's breath left him in a quiet rush. He reached out and tucked a strand of hair behind her ear with the careful deliberateness of a man who had imagined doing exactly this 1,000 times and stopped himself every single one. "You shouldn't do that so easily," he murmured. "Maybe I'm tired of being careful," she whispered back. The guarded girl who had run for years was still there, but she was looking at him now like she was choosing to stop running. "For him?" His hand slid into her hair. "Valerie?" She kissed him. Kylan made a low sound in his chest and pulled her closer, tilting her head back as he deepened the kiss with a hunger like he was memorizing the shape of her mouth. She felt it everywhere. She answered with equal fire, fingers curling into his shirt, pulling him closer until there was no space left between them. When they finally broke apart, both breathing hard, Valerie rested her forehead against his, eyes closed, a small, wondering smile on her lips. "The palace," she said. How are the walls? Impenetrable, he answered, thumb tracing the line of her jaw, like he couldn't quite stop touching her. Though I suspect you'd find a way through them anyway. You're very good at getting into places you're not supposed to be. A surprised laugh escaped her. Quiet. Real. The sound of someone who hadn't had reason to laugh in a long time. You're terrible at this. I'm excellent at this, he countered, pressing a kiss to her temple, then the corner of her mouth, voice warm with dry humor. I've been practicing in my head since the night you told me you'd be gone by dawn. I've had time to refine the material. Valerie pulled back just enough to look at him. Really look at him. The man who had seen every broken, guarded piece of her, and had never once tried to take what wasn't freely given. She turned her head and pressed a kiss to his palm, then met his eyes. Show me, she said. Kylan's smile was slow, devastating, and entirely hers. How was this story from 1 to 10? If you'd like more stories I've never shared here, I've included a link in my pinned comment. Thank you.